Taylor pointed out. Okay, sorry. I got the robot voice interrupting me. As Ms. Taylor pointed out, we might be moving some things around regarding on who shows up when. But we'll start with a call to order. Open forums after that. We're going to approve last meeting's minutes. We're going to recognize our youth members, hopefully approve our funding strategies for the next 3 fiscal years. And then we'll close out with the usual stuff. But I can start with a quick roll call. Let's see. Peter Lay.
Here.
Pacolia Manigo.
Here.
Kimberly Aceves.
Here.
Bill Riley. Bill Riley? Oh, I'm sorry. I believe you're muted.
Thank you. Present.
We'll move on. We can all see each here. Do you hear me? Anna Carita Allen.
Lexi, yes,
you're
here.
Here.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
I'm here.
Anna Carita Allen is here. Tassiana Kwamalele.
Here.
And then I don't know if staff wanna say hi, introduce themselves at all. If so, go for it.
Sandy Taylor, Oakland Fund for Children and Youth and City Children and Youth Services Manager.
Mike Wetzel, Program Planner, the Children and Youth Services Division.
Caitlin Forgash, Administrative Assistant for Children and Youth Services.
Anyone else we're missing? All right, if that's it, I will hand it off to my co-chair for open forum.
Muted. Awesome, so at this time we will have open forum. If anyone is here in the public attendees that would like to speak, if you're on Zoom, raise your hand and we will call you. If you are on the phone, you should press *9 to request to speak, and then we will unmute you at the appropriate time for you to speak. So I'm looking to see, I do not see that we have any public attendees that want to speak. So we will move forward with agenda item 3, and I will turn that back over to,
Member Lay. Hit the wrong button.
Okay, so we'll move on to item number 3. And I'll turn this back over to my co-chair. Or not. Or I'll keep going. And so at this time, it's approval of the prior meeting minutes from June 23rd. They were sent out. So I'll give you all about 30 seconds to a minute to review those minutes. And then if there aren't any other questions or changes, I will call someone to make a motion for us to accept them.
Yeah, I read the minutes and I'll move to approve them. This is Bill Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Riley. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Was that Pacoli? Was that you?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Because your picture didn't pop up. Alrighty, so it's been moved and properly second. I guess now we will call for the votes. So Peter Lay.
Yes.
Bill Riley.
Yes.
Pacolia Manigo.
Yes.
Kimberly Aceves. I'm so sorry.
Aceves, I have a question.
Yes.
I can say yes, even if I was not present, correct?
You can. I think most people, when they aren't present, abstain. May abstain.
All right. Abstain.
Okay. Langston Budenhagen.
Aye.
And Tassiana Kwamalele. Aye. So it has been moved and passed unanimously. So I'll turn this back over to my co-chair, which I think we're going to jump.
Yeah, yep. I think we are going to jump item 4 for now, seeing as we are missing one of our other youth members. But that means we get to go to item five, which is hopefully the approval of OFCUI funding strategies for fiscal years 2022 through 2025. I can turn that over.
Richard, did we approve the agenda already?
Mm-hmm. We don't usually approve the agenda before every meeting. We just do an overview most of the time.
Thank you. So this item is really the second presentation of the strategies that were discussed on June 23rd. And we're going to run through them pretty quickly since you had a very similar presentation. And then we're going to talk a little bit more about the overview of the allocation, what's shifted from last year, with the eye toward this being approval just of the strategies as framed, not actually like approving the accompanying document as the draft plan. The idea is that this gives the staff and HTA consultants just the direction to move forward with developing the final plan, draft plan, and bringing that back in September for the approval of the draft strategic plan for fiscal year 22 to 25. And the idea is also that we are sending to council information on an informational report that they get through directly from the city administrator. Every council member gets a report and it gives a little background and says that these are the draft strategies and this is the work to date. Since we weren't able to schedule their input or discussion at a council committee. So it's still out there for input then from the city council members and then the work to develop the plan can get finalized over the summer with a little bit more time. Through this whole budget process, things were evolving really quickly with the council funding and other issues. And so we think that landing on this draft strategies will give the input, needed. And it's certainly open for input, right? So I just wanted to preamble that. So again, this is for, the fiscal year 22 to 25. So that starts July 1, 2022, or potentially June 1, 2022. For summer, and we're going to move quickly. So keeping up there, Caitlin is moving this PowerPoint. The four funding areas are described in the legislation as goals. So as you know, OFCUI funds birth to 21 and has invested over this 20 some years in those strategies or in those goal areas, from healthy development of young children, children's success in school, prevention of violence and involvement in gangs is what it's described as in the legislation. But really that focus has been flipped and we have called that through the years, youth development and leadership. So here we're sort of renaming that what's in the legislation, but it's youth development and violence prevention. And then more broadly transitions to adulthood. Is the goal funding area in the legislation that's, named Healthy Transitions to Adulthood. I'm going to go quickly. So just briefly, you have a bunch of information in the packet that was pulling together for each strategy area under these different goal areas, a description of the strategy, supportive programming that would be supported, intended impacts and rationale, and more will be done to tie that up and to support just a strong basis for the request for proposals. So under healthy development, it's a social emotional well-being in early childhood. And then we're combining what was two programmatic strategies in this cycle and prior. So an emphasis on both family resource centers and continuing that programming that engages families in their neighborhoods and supports the healthy development of young children. So that's all I will say about that. And there's a ton of information in there, and which is really kind of lengthy, so we won't go on too far. Then there is comprehensive school-based after school, elementary schools, continuing the partnership that OFCY has with OUSD for both middle, elementary and middle schools, and an additional programmatic area, keep going, go faster, around middle school engagement, wellness and transitions. And this would support just additional investment focused on the middle school areas. It could be tied to the sort of wellness programming that's being discussed, or more specifically to more prevention programming, or other culturally affirming programming that supports unique needs of middle school students. And of course, that can be the sort of wraparound programming that has been funded, and it can be other models. But here we are focusing on middle school engagement and a transition strategy, which we've done in the past, that would support youth as they transition into middle school or into high school. And those can be a variety of things. And then for high school and post-secondary success, the strategy is really framed around supporting student well-being and wellness, as well as continuing the emphasis that this particular named strategy area has had on supporting high school-based access to supports for transitioning to post-secondary opportunities or college. So those might be, culturally focused. They may be the sort of academic support and connection to post-secondary opportunities like community colleges. And as well, there is a new sort of renewed emphasis on wellness centers, which, you know, have been supported by OFCY in the past, but there's certainly an acknowledgement that student well-being, mental health, and social emotional wellness is key in high schools. And that if, you know, as that develops, OFCY can support and those, and so sort of lifting up the wellness area through this particular focus at high schools. And then the next one, Mike, you were going to speak to youth leadership development and this area.
I can speak to this. This would be the third goal area of youth development and violence prevention, continuing a strong strategy of youth leadership and development with really three areas in there to support safe spaces for priority populations, particularly vulnerable, to support arts, recreation, and to support youth leadership and advocacy programs. The second strategy is to fund summer programs with support for academic programs in partnership with Oakland Unified School District to have academic enrichment programming at school sites, as well as to support community-based programming for community sites to keep youth engaged in fun, enriching academic activities to offset summer learning loss. And then the third strategy would be a new strategy for OFCY, and to be more explicit in funding violence prevention programming, to focus on restorative justice and targeted prevention programming. So as a new strategy, we look to align this closely with the work of the new Department of Violence Prevention and support their public health model towards addressing violence in Oakland.
Mike, this is Kimberly. Can I ask you a really quick question? I know we're trying to move forward fast, but on the last slide, you had said advocacy, but it doesn't say advocacy. Am I missing it?
It does in the longer version, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot more, you know, we were just trying to sort of run through them, but yeah, there's definitely a focus on increased advocacy and organizing and youth leadership and connection to civic engagement, and advocacy. Okay. But I was going to just add that for violence prevention programming, just want to make the clear point that the distinction that we are making is that DVP has the leadership role and is funded for violence prevention funding, including more violence interruption services. Their focus on restorative justice and diversion from court, engagement with courts and juvenile justice system. So they have a very targeted approach. And what here is defining is that OFCY should continue that the lane of being able to support violence prevention that is more broadly focused on the broader, youth engagement, youth leadership, peer-to-peer. We have models of violence prevention education and training that's, peer-to-peer, where you have older students in schools with younger students. And so it's distinct from DVP. And this is like a result of trying to sort out, as DVP, Department of Violence Prevention, was getting funded, what their investments would look like. And so as they've finally gotten their budget at their allocation approved through the city council in the last week, it's really clear that they will have much more funding and resources, but theirs will be more the really targeted toward where it is youth engaged or at risk of engagement in violence and interrupting violence very specifically. And so OFCY does have this lane, and citywide, there's sort of an ownership that, violence prevention, it should be, as restorative justice, as conflict management can be embedded in the schools and through community, that's something OFCY can continue to fund as it has funded without actually having it pulled out as a strategy. And part of the opportunity is that potentially over the next 6 months, as the proposals come through, as the RFP is developed, as DVP releases their RFP, maybe there might be opportunities to have a coordinated pilot focused on younger youth. So we're trying to leave that open, but also recognize that OFCY has funded restorative justice, and that's still a really important piece in the city. So I just wanted to make that point, because there's these dialogues that are happening with the Department of Violence Prevention Director and the Human Services Director, and that's kind of what, informs that. And it will come up at the council level. Go ahead, Mike.
Great. So the final goal area is the transitions to a productive adulthood, transitions to adulthood for older youth. And the change this year is to split out a current strategy into two areas, one for focusing on opportunity youth to provide career access and employment for opportunity youth, youth who are disengaged from both school and work, and recognizing that steps to engage youth again back into education and employment may need a lot of wraparound services and a holistic approach to address the many basic needs and other barriers that there may be. And then continuation to support in-school youth as well, particularly in partnership with the Workforce Development Board and supporting summer youth employment opportunities for young people, and working with the school district as well for supporting work in line with the career academies to keep youth engaged in school and have opportunities to have career exploration opportunities, with both strategies also emphasizing that they provide money and resources to Oakland youth, and in that way, help them be able to sustain themselves and support their families. So with that, I want to pass it back to Sandy to talk about the potential allocations.
Yeah, so here what we've done is try to provide allocations of estimated $18 million, which is the very close to the approximate amount that should be available based upon the revenues that the city's budget office is estimating projected revenues for Kids First. 90% of that would be available for grants. And so in fiscal year 22-23, that, you know, estimate is $18 million. Now, between now and then, there will be updates, and there may be updates to the revenue projections. And usually that happens as a, in a process of sort of a, what they call the mid-cycle review. So that will be happening in the winter, spring coming up, and there may be adjustments, and it may actually be much, you know, in maybe higher funding than we can estimate here. So over the last cycle, we started with thinking we were going to have probably around between 18.5 million or so, and then the revenue we were able to augment with carry forward revenues from prior years. And got up to initial funding of 19.8 million. Here we're focusing on, we've pretty much run through all prior year additional carry forward money, and we're looking at the estimated funding going into 22-23 and thinking that $18 million is the base that's going to be available. And, you know, at this point we've, you know, the whole process has involved the community engagement, the data analysis, the developing strategies, and presentation of that with, you know, support from HTA. And rather than try to spec out individual amounts at this point, we wanted to present just more broadly so that more work can be done to sort of identify if it's necessary in the strategic plan, specifically what's needed for individual strategies like after school, elementary schools or middle schools. So we have broadly presented $3 million for healthy development of young children, and then $6.5 million for children's success in school, which, you know, supports, as you see, strategies 3 through 6. We've broken them out a little differently than in the past. And shifted some emphasis to middle schools and shifted the emphasis within the high school success strategy. And then for the 7, 8, and 9, here there's been more intentionality to pull out violence prevention programming and see what that might look like in light of the crisis the city continues to be engaged in. And then youth development and leadership, youth leadership and development programming is very comparable to the funding that's been provided this year. And so then we have about $2.8 million for career access and employment for opportunity youth and for youth in high school. In the next slide, we wanted to show you what the comparison is, and just briefly, this is what the current year looks like after we've, you know, been, you know, pretty much reduced to $17.69 million for this year. The amounts are different in terms of the total for the goal area because we've done a few things differently. That high school success strategy is actually part of the children's success in school. So there was $1 million for our high school success, but actually that's really now being showed as part of an overall bucket called children's success in school that includes the after school programs, the middle school engagement program, and then the high school success program. And so if you look at youth development here, can you switch back, Caitlin, real quick? Youth development is pretty comparable, right? It's just a little bit more for this year with that emphasis that we don't want to reduce funding for youth development. So we're trying to maintain funding for youth development. We're trying to maintain funding for children's success in school very comparably to what has been taking place this year. There's a slight decrease for the early childhood programming and a slight increase for the older youth career access program. But it's fairly consistent with the sort of allocation that OFCY has. It's just shifting high school success into the broader bucket as we think about it more intentionally. And then, you know, emphasizing violence prevention, which is currently has been funded in part through some of the high school success, but also through some of the youth development, leadership and development programming. There have been models that are violence prevention oriented. So that's kind of where we are with draft strategies. And this is where we're asking for that questions and input. And that would allow us to potentially move forward for full final development of the plan, which would tie all the pieces together. So I'll stop there and open it for questions. And I realize that this, you know, maybe the first time you've sort of seen the way the allocation might look, and it's in development. But we've shared the strategies with you before, and through the work of the subcommittee, we were able to share some of that information before we got to the June 23rd POC meeting. And certainly they have been privy to the sort of data analysis work as well, that supports, that provides a sort of foundation for these investments. So I'll stop there and just open that up and give it back to the chairs for how you want to handle questions, and appreciate any input you know, that you all have.
I just had a quick clarifying question, Sandy. So this seems like it's just a broad stroke in terms of these four different buckets, but it's still unclear how within each bucket the funds will be allocated to each strategy.
So I think that partially that is what we are, you know, looking at, you know, in development. You know, each strategy, you know, it was hard to know what to put down and put out there, given where DVP was with their violence prevention funding. For the largest area, which would be school-based after school and school-based after school at middle schools, you know, it's kind of based on what the eligibility is of schools and what the funding level is set for schools. We've been funding 59 combined elementary middle schools. And in this new year, in this new time frame going forward, there has to be more time taken to look at what OFCY would be doing to match, so that we have a more or less universal funding for after school for those elements that are those schools that have student populations with over 50% of the students having free or reduced price meal eligibility. And so we would basically, within those broader parameters, look at some of the constraints, with that being sort of the one that makes it more clear. And we'd also look at what was funded in the prior, this cycle, and, you know, where there was the strongest demand and strongest capacity in terms of proposals that came in. You know, unfortunately, this whole cycle is going to be kind of messed up. But really, literally the first year we went into COVID, this whole year has been done through virtual means for, you know, almost all organizations pretty consistently. And then next year is going to definitely be more of a hybrid kind of looking situation, with stronger, hopefully site-based delivery. So it's a combination of things, you know, sort of experience and historical practice with what needs to be allocated across these strategies. And some of it is a big question mark. You know, the youth development leadership piece is, you know, one of those, you know, and there may be adjustments made, but there's been strong input around youth leadership and development. And so, you know, that's why it's hard to just pull out amounts at this point. And we sort of leave that to a little bit more planning work to see if we can pull that out more and have some discussions about that over the summer before you get the final plan.
Got it. That was super helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions from board members? Okay. If not, I don't know if at this time we wanted to potentially open this up for attendees to comment on this strategy, or do we want to wait until the end to open forum? Either way, I don't see hands from the public. So if there aren't any additional questions or comments, then I believe this is an action item, so we should be voting to accept the strategies as presented, the funding strategies as presented. So do we have a motion for that?
So moved.
Okay, second?
A second, this is Kimberly.
Perfect. So Peter, I believe that was you, Peter, that moved it. Kimberly second.
That was me, Langston.
Oh, Langston. Okay, awesome. So let's just call for the votes. I have Peter Lay.
Aye.
Bill Riley. We'll circle back to Bill. Pacolia Manigo.
Yes.
Tassian Kwamalele, aye. Ankarita Allen.
Aye.
Langston Bootenhagen. And Kimberly.
Aye.
Awesome. So this has passed.
I voted aye on that. This is Bill Riley. Okay.
Awesome. I didn't hear you at first. So this has passed unanimously.
Did awesome. Say aye? Or vote?
You did. I think I called you first.
All right.
It's okay. Thank you for that presentation, Sandy. Definitely great work that's being done on behalf of OFCY. And I look forward to seeing sort of what Peter mentioned about the strategy, sort of now really seeing how the money is going to be allocated for the various points under each pillar. That will be very interesting to see. So I guess now we can circle back to agenda item 4, if we have other members on, but this will be the recognition of youth PLC members at the end of their annual term. And I believe we only still have 2, or is it just 1?
It might just be me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it is just you, Langston.
It's just Langston today.
Yeah, it is. I was looking down the participants.
And I can just give a couple thoughts to this. Every year, it's a one-year term that people serve on the POC, and we recognize that it's once a month plus the subcommittees does take a lot of commitment. The city council authorized the POC back at the very start of things, back in the early 2000s, to provide a scholarship to youth to participate, to recognize that it's work. Langston, you know, has been just such a tremendous leader for, this is your third year here, it's even hard to talk about it right now. So I'm going to circle back to you, Langston. We have, you know, 2 other members that are on it that are going to LA. Anthony Bibiano will be heading down to UCLA and representing District 2, as well as Dwayne Davis, I believe he's going to Cal State LA down there. So happy for our youth growing up and getting a chance to spread and experience new places and bring their new knowledge and experiences back. This is always the push. Sophia Guerrero is also a member. I'm hoping she may be returning. I'm actually not sure of her plans right now. It's always great when members can come back for a second year and a third, as Langston knows, because each year it brings in experience and the leadership grows. So our staff, we've been putting an outreach to other council members to try to really fill the vacancies over the summer and the break in August. So when we come back in September, we will have hopefully a really robust group of young new Oakland leaders. It's hard to not to say anything that you don't know about Langston. He was really, the silver linings of the pandemic is one is that Langston is able to participate for another year. He should have been going to college and will be going next year. Thankfully sticking close by. It's as a UC Berkeley grad myself, I'm very happy for him to be going to Stanford. I think it's the a tremendous university and the rivalry is always overrated.
I think not. Go Bears. But I will root for you, Langston.
I hope everyone who does have a chance to meet young people does recommend this to them to have a chance to serve and can pass the torch. And I know Sandy probably wants to say some things to Langston.
I just remember, like, I think Langston, you, when you started, did you start in a strategic planning year the last cycle, or was it
review? I don't think it was.
Was it review process year?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I remember being on the review committee my first year. I can't remember if it was my first or my second, but I was on one of them.
Yeah, I remember that first year Langston, you know, comes in, you know, he hasn't been familiar with the PLC and it's a review process year, which is like incredibly, it's much more intense and it's a lot of work as a review subcommittee, just like strategic planning subcommittee, except for it's kind of worse because you're looking at all this data and information and then you're recommending the grants. And I was like, he comes in and he's at first meeting and I was like, wow, he was so, you know, just so engaged off the bat. I really was amazed at that. And ever since then, you know, so it's been 3 years, like his sense of leadership is really wonderful and so natural. And we've had really wonderful youth participants and watching them sort of, you know, come into it and be outspoken and lead the commission has really been just probably one of the best things about being with Oakland Fund. But Langston was amazing to me because it was like, oh, right off the bat, I was like, oh, wow, he's really coming here to, you know, speak up. So I love that you are going forward and doing amazing things. And I still want you to hire me one day. Yeah.
You guys are too nice, man. You guys. That's all so immensely sweet. And I hope you guys don't mind if I say a couple of things, because I am so immensely grateful for all of the welcoming and the support and the kindness that staff and the panel have showed to me over the past 3 years. It's been a fantastic learning experience. It's been a fantastic socio-emotional experience. It's been a fantastic leadership experience. I've been able to learn so much about the way that people work, the way that government works, the way that equity works in real life, as opposed to just talked about in the classroom. And I think most of all, it's been such a privilege to connect with such wonderful, wonderful people. And I want to thank everybody for the kindness and warmth and help that you guys have all showed along the way. I really, really do appreciate it.
Everybody give a round of applause for Langston.
Yay.
Round of applause. Yay. Best of luck, Langston. You have been amazing for my 2 years on the POC. And yeah, I'm super excited for you. And if ever I could be a professional reference or some sort of report, please do not hesitate to reach out. And I think that will be shared for all of the PLC members if there's any way that we're able to support you as a young person. We definitely would love to do so. You are pretty stellar.
I just want to say, can I say really quick, Langston, it was really amazing. We started at the same time. I think we first day together sitting next to you, I've learned a ton. And I had the privilege of working with your dad, and then I got the privilege of working with you. So yeah, no, I really appreciate kind of all that you've done. I mean, maybe you can give me a reference one of these days. Thank you.
Thank you so much, y'all. That's all so, so kind. I appreciate it. I remember that first day too, Kimberly. I remember being nervous and seeing, let me sit next to her.
I'm glad you did.
Me too.
Yeah, I feel a little teary. I wish that more of your peers were here, because every single one of them is amazingly amazing young people on the commission. So hopefully Sophia will come back, and I want to wish Duane luck as well.
Yes.
And Anthony, I feel like I don't know. So I guess he's coming back next year.
I know he's gotten very interested in it and work it out depending on living situation. This is a great opportunity for Oakland Youth, and I'd say for the public too, if you have recommendations, we have it on the OFCY website, how to find out where the vacancies are. And it's really about council members making the appointments to, and sometimes they just need to make the connections to young people, and that you could help them with that. So,
Yeah, we have to have some kind of reunion. What, like reunions? What, people do come back and say hello, Langston. So don't be a stranger.
I'll be at many more meetings. Hopefully, a few more as a panelist as well in the future.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk after this meeting. We don't have your replacement yet.
If there are no additional comments or love that we would like to send to Langston, we will move over to the next agenda item, which I believe is just general updates, or administrative updates, administrative matters.
So the just question of how you move into next year, I think is where we are. The first meeting of the next fiscal year and the next term for PLC members, you know, in terms of the PLC's regular bylaws, I think we may be back to regular meetings and meetings in person, potentially. They have not given us a formal word on that, but we'd be looking at the September 1st, I think, and September 14th. And what we usually do is do that first meeting is more of an orientation, because we need to go over the Ethics Commission rules and to establish, just the framework for how, you know, the Planning and Oversight Commission is working from year to year. And then next year, of course, being the year when the RFP goes out, there would be a new review committee. Key critical thing is for the first meeting or the second meeting, certainly the election of the co-chairs, or did we do that already? Right, so we have to put that on the agenda. We have to have a formal nomination and an election process and appoint adult and youth co-chairs, or you will all vote on your adult and youth co-chairs. And then there would be an orientation meeting. And then also critical in September is just bringing back the strategic investment plan for your approval. And however many meetings it takes, that's what we need to do, because that's then gets submitted, and we want to submit it to the City Council for their October 25th committee meeting. And so September is a really important month, and we'll be working to transition just to make sure we have a full roster of Planning and Oversight Committee members. As Mike said, we've kind of been in reach out recruitment mode, hearing from council members who really have now, I think, a sense of the importance of OFCY. They are getting it very well, you know, having gone through the reimagining process, the violence prevention, you know, process. I think that they are really receptive and looking to make their appointments. And so whatever, help that you all can provide is really appreciated. you know, we for sure we are missing youth members, and you know, ask, you know, that if you know of youth in your districts, or you know, think might be interested in this as a civic engagement leadership position on a commission, we really appreciate your forwarding that information to us or to the council members directly, or just supporting that youth to get there. So those are the things that are coming up. This is the last meeting then of this term, and we've already asked for reappointment memos so that we can make sure that those of you who are willing to continue are formally appointed. And that's, you know, that's really, it's really the way things are supposed to happen. The council members are supposed to send a formal appointment memo. If they don't do it until later, it doesn't really matter. You're still on the commission. You're not off of it. You can't be off of it. So we want to make sure that we have full membership of 17. And if we don't have that, you know, we want to make sure we have a quorum, because it's really critical and important, the work that you've done this year in terms of adopting a final plan and setting up for the timeline for the review process means that this RFP has to go out like in November, early December at the latest. And then that's really very tight. It's a rigorous process. And many, many community members are really, really looking forward to this new review process. And so those will be the things that we'll be focused on, is getting full membership and having the election for co-chairs, and then having an orientation. So it may be that two meetings make sense in September, the 1st and the 14th. And that, I guess, at this point is, you know, to be determined. It may make sense to just do it all on the 14th, but then you have new members who aren't as familiar with the plan, potentially voting on it. But hopefully we will have a full complement of members coming back. And I think that would be super helpful. So those are sort of the comments I have around upcoming meetings.
Anything further from staff or anyone on the panel?
I would just say, I think we're done with the ad hoc strategic planning subcommittee. I really appreciate that it's been a long year with meetings and going over a really deep dive of data and guiding some of the ideas around the guiding of the community engagement work and areas of concern and need and priority. And so thank you for that work, and Kimberly for leading it, and Bill for participating, and Peter, your time on all this. Just, and Tassia, I know, as a co-chair. Nicole, I think everyone here has been really active in just the planning work this year. So we look forward during this break in your hiatus over August to polishing up a strong plan to bring back to you in September.
Yeah, I want to thank you all too for just engaging and getting through this work this year and today. And thanks, my thanks also to the subcommittee in particular, and to any of you and each of you who I've had the chance to talk about some of these issues with. Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. So work in progress.
All right. Well, if there's nothing further, then I think it's about time to adjourn. Is there anything else before I call? Okay.
One quick thing. Yeah. I just want to clarify 1st and the 15th, because it's the 1st.
Yes. It's the 1st and the 15th.
Okay.
That's funny.
I was like, wait, why would we do the 14th? It's a Tuesday. So anyway, no, that's all.
Okay, 1st and the 14th, and you will be there, right?
No, you're lucky. I almost booked the ticket, but now I won't.
I want returning commitments. Like, period. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right. If that's it, then I want to thank everybody for your time tonight. It's 6:54, and this meeting is now adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you again.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll miss you. Thanks,
Langston. Bye. Yeah. Thank you so much, Langston. You've done such an amazing job throughout. I mean, I've only been here since November, but definitely since November, you've done such an amazing job and are always there and are always present and engaged and just really appreciate the work that you've done.
Thank you. I really appreciate the kind words.
Thanks to you for sharing, and thank you, Ted.